Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. I'm Tom, assigned to the microphone for the morning. How are we doing? Check out all of our podcasts at socialpodcastnetwork.com. This podcast is also brought to you by The Nook, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, located in Painter's Mill. Amazing food. They make this grandma's soup that's on point. How's it going, everybody? It is Friday. We made it. Made it to Friday. How's your week? How's the future looking? Shouldn't be looking at the future. But you know what? It's one of those, it's kind of that time, right? Everything's kind of, there's a buzz. There's a buzz. I don't know where you're living or where you're listening to this podcast from, but where I live, there's a buzz. A buzz. Well, it's actually, I don't know what it is, really. I went to the grocery store last night with my son. He needed some stuff. We need stuff. Went to the grocery store. You know, who do you, if you want to find out anything, you ask the checkout lady. Or person, I shouldn't say lady, because there's some gentlemen doing it. The checkout people. They usually have the word on the street. Word on the street is they're going to shut everything down on Monday. I'm like, who says that? Who divulged that information to the checkout person? But actually, I've kind of been hearing it. There's a stir. The whole thing really is a great opportunity to get really discouraged or frustrated or scared or worried. And I get it, man. I definitely get it. I get it. The good thing is, maybe if we do shut everything down for a week or two or whatever they're talking, maybe it'll help, right? Maybe it'll help. I don't know. But it creates so much anxiety. You know, we were at the grocery store. There was no toilet paper, paper towels. Again, here we go with this thing. Everybody buying it up. They had some cheap junk. I bought a couple packages. I mean, I don't know. Might as well. It's like easy. It's like Halloween candy. It's like tiers of toilet paper. You know, you got the Twixes and the Snickers of the toilet paper, and then you got the pink and orange Tootsie Rolls at the very bottom version of toilet paper, which is, you know, one ply and pretty lame. Don't matter to me. Shit, I've run many times and had to stop and take care of some business in the woods and use a leaf. I can't imagine it was the most effective tool, but, you know, you use what you got. You do what you have to do. Evolve. Or dissolve. I don't know. I'm just trying to stay in the best place for me in the moment. The good thing is, or the, you know, one, the concession or whatever, is that we're all in the same boat. We are all in the same boat. I saw a map of the United States with all the COVID cases, and the whole United States was red. There wasn't anybody that was doing better than others. We all seem to be doing pretty shitty. Where I live, we live at the beach, and it's a small little beach town, resort town, and apparently it's a very popular destination. So a lot of people come here. A lot of people have been moving here, which in turn allows businesses to kind of hang in there. I've always said we're in a little bit of a bubble here. But you know what? That bubble, it might be getting smaller. You know, they're talking about closing down restaurants again. you know, one thing about a resort town is it's a lot of restaurants. A lot of restaurants. So they're obviously going to take a hit. Hopefully they can make it. I don't know. The whole thing, it opens up the path for a lot of negative thinking. A lot of judgment. Well, it's this people's fault. It's not clearly not my fault. It's these people's fault. The worst part about it is that, you know, my high school son, he does remote, and he does it fine, I think. I don't know. Last night it was like 10:30, and he was calling his friend wanting an email of some information from school. Like, I thought that was a little late to be working on your homework or at least solving a problem. But I just kind of let him do it. He handled it. But the little kids, my little ones, they're in, you know, they're at elementary school. And up until this point, elementary school has been open. And our governor released a statement on Monday. This was the big statement. Everybody was waiting. He's going to shut us down on Monday. This is what they were saying. That was last Monday. And that's the other thing. People don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But the governor announced, you know, he's lowering the amount of people out in the restaurants and bars and, you know, they want less people going. Really, I guess the issue is Thanksgiving, you know, big groups getting together. So he limited, you know, 10 at your, it was a suggestion. I don't know. But he, at the end of the whole thing, he said, you know, he's not going to do anything with the elementary schools because they have been doing very well. I think they had a kindergartner that maybe got something, a teacher maybe got something, but I mean, for the most part, they've done very well. And then we got a notice on, I don't know, basically saying that Monday and Tuesday of next week are going to be now virtual. The kids know how to log in. We've been working on it and teaching them. And those words just made me feel like they've been working up to this point to close down the elementary schools. But I have no idea, so I'm basically running around rogue on this one. I have no idea, and I need to keep my mouth shut about it because, well, besides the podcast. But I really don't know. These are my fears. Sometimes my fears come spewing out as, like, actual facts, and they're not facts. But what it felt like was we're ramping up to having schools be closed again. And then, you know, that falls into, you know, they're supposed to close everything down Monday. It's a, you know, there's nothing new here to talk about. It's the same old shit. You know, we have to surrender. We have to find patience. We have to be considerate. You know, I own a hair salon. Every person that walks into my salon is like, oh, I forgot my mask. Do I need my mask? Yes, you need your mask. I had a client telling me, should I go to New York? I'm like, I don't know. I think they're saying don't travel. I know, but should I go? I'm like, no. It says don't travel. One guy tells me yesterday, it's very upsetting that the government tells me how many people I can have in my house. I get that. It is upsetting, but Jesus. You know, is this the time to, you know, draw a line in the sand? It's tough because the variances of this, the degrees of this disease and this virus and the way people get it is so broad that it's hard to get behind it, but I think we just are going to have to. I'm not sure this is the time to be picking a fight, right? I think there is, there's a better time. I think we need to just kind of chill. For the best.
By the sister go dancing through my head. Humanize till human. The future is no place to place your better day. Cry, freedom, cry.
crowd, 10,000 wide. Oh, played upon hope that this crowd will not subside. Let this flag burn to dust and in you a fair design be raised. While we wait, head in hands, hands in prayer, and fall into a dreamless sleep again. Oh, between the rider's hands and feet are all aligned, but fear between the rider's soul has slept away. There was a window, and by its door, the mirror in which he could see him sound. He thought of something, something he had never had, but hoped it would come at long. Cry, freedom, cry from deep inside, where we are all confined. While we
these people just pulled up outside. The typical, this is how it's, it always is. The couple gets out, they walk to the restaurant, and then they got to walk back to their cars to get masks every time. You know, one of the hard parts about the mask thing is that there's, you know, you're telling a broad spectrum of people to do something, right? Everywhere from little kids to old people. And, you know, as we get older, rules, as we get older, man, sometimes we don't feel like following rules. And that's where the stress comes in, because there's these people that really aren't in the mood to be told what to do. Kids are great. You know, and I think that's why the schools are doing actually so well. At least I'll tell you why the elementary schools are doing so well, because the little kids follow directions, sort of. When it comes to these masks, they have no problem. I mean, I pick up my kids, they got the mask still on. Now, the high school kids, they follow directions. They wear the mask, but they like to hang out. You know, the little ones aren't hanging out. They're at home with us. But like my 15-year-old, he likes to go out with his friends. And then you have the versions of this, but to do it in bigger numbers. That's where the challenges become. And then you have people in restaurants and bars. I mean, there's a reason I don't drink. I couldn't follow directions before this. I couldn't follow directions when I drank about any rules. So I can imagine how I would be with the mask on if I was still drinking. But, you know, they hang, they go out, and then they, you know, the fear fades. The liquor starts to flow. Mask starts slipping down. I've had two friends of mine that have gotten it at bars. It's the gatherings. I think that's what's getting the people sick. I don't know. I guess the point of it is those facts, us handling this, that's clearly not going away anytime soon. I think what's most important is figuring out how I can handle it. Handle it. And I'm blessed, man. I swear. I've got a wonderful family, a wonderful wife, great in-laws, great father. you know. And at my age and where I'm at as far as with my life, that's really all I want. I have no desire to go to a big gathering of people. None. I didn't before. You know, you do what you do, you gotta participate, but I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I don't need to go to the movies. I wish I could go to a concert. Don't need to go. They're obviously not going on anyway, but so I'm pretty cool. I'm pretty content, but I can't imagine being like 22, 23, young, single, still partying or still partaking or whatever. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But man, that's got to be a tough road to hoe. And then, you know, at 21, 22, you know, work is, we're just getting started, right? In our careers, in our education. I can't imagine. That's got to be very, very scary. Jobs disappearing. I mean, the whole wave of jobs is changing, I feel. I mean, we've started a whole line of careers just handling masks and quarantine. It's funny how masks have become just this thing, right? My buddy Carlos's mother made some masks, and he gave my wife and I one. It was such a great mask. I mean, who'd have thought I'd be talking about this awesome mask, man? But it was really nice. The only problem is it has, you know, the little strings that go around your ears. It has these little white things that kind of, you know, if you pinch the string together, it would go over it so it can adjust the tension. You know, so if you need if your head's bigger, you can have more room. And if it's smaller, you can adjust it in the back behind your ears and it tightens it up. And one of my little white things fell off, so it kind of is loose. That's a nice mask. You start really paying attention. It's like kind of firm. It's got some substance to the walls of the mask, so they're not like constantly flexing in and out as I breathe. I don't know. Who would have thought this would have been a thing? But it's something I'm thinking about now. I know that I do, you know, I do wish that we had a, you know, we could get to more meetings. That I do wish. That one is, you know, that one weighs on me because I love meetings. We were watching, there's a show on, I don't know what channel, but it's called Mom. You've probably seen it with the girl that played CJ Craig on The West Wing and the blonde girl. I don't know any of these people's names, but, you know, they're a mother and daughter living together and they're both, you know, in recovery and they go to meetings and I was watching it and I was watching them at a meeting. And I kept thinking, I wonder if AA is all right with that, but that's neither here nor there. But they're in the meeting and they, you know, and it was kind of funny because in the meeting, so somehow the main character's house gets broken into and their stuff gets stolen. They track the stuff down and it turns out to be the grandson of a member of their meeting. And so they go to this lady's house and they say, listen, you know, my computer's on Craigslist. It's for sale. And the person gave me this address. And she's like, oh, that's impossible. And she's like, does anybody else live here? And she goes, and they're friends. You know, this is they're friends from a meeting. And she goes, yeah, well, my grandson, she goes, well, could he have? And she's like, you need to leave. He is amazing. And he would never do that. And she tells them to leave, and so they leave. So later on, they're at the meeting, and they're wondering if this lady, I think her name was Mary, if Mary's going to show up. Due to all that's gone on, they're worried that she may not show up. And all of a sudden, Mary's at the door carrying, like, this big blue bag, and she's like, can I speak to you for a second? And they go over, and she goes, I hope this is all your stuff. Turns out her grandson stole it. But the lady didn't want to stay at the meeting. They're like, Mary, stay at the meeting. We need to have you. We love you. And she's like, no. And she leaves. Something else going on has now wrecked her desire to come to a meeting. And I was like, oh, that's awful. It reminded me of the and this happens a lot, you know, and this is a pitfall that we have to, these are, I think, one of the early lessons for me in AA was how much of a fucking baby I am, how sensitive I am, and how affected I am by that shit. And it reminded me of the time where there was a newcomer, and he took on the coffee commitment. I've shared this story before, but he took the coffee commitment on. But this happens all the time. Different versions, but same kind of thing. You know, he takes on the coffee commitment, you know, make the coffee, put the creamer out, put a cup with water and a spoon, and sit down. The next thing you know, he starts bringing a little vial of milk or cream. And then he starts bringing cookies. That's great. It's great. Serve others, not yourself, right? But then he starts saying, how's the cookies? I'm like, they're fine. How's the creamer? It's great. You know, nobody cares. Nobody cares, especially for the reason of that is, you know, that's dangerous. That's where, because the life that I lived before, I'm all about some praise because of my special duties of bringing special creams and cookies. But that's sick. There's a sickness in there. You don't know it. You don't see it. It slowly reveals itself. But they're like all these resentments that you get from not being addressed or not being properly recognized for your cookie skills. But it was a slow process because first it was, you know, a little creamer he would bring. And then the next thing you know, he's bringing a cookie kind. And then he's bringing like a cookie tray of different cookies. And it's a whole thing. And his wife is helping him make cookies. And his level of participation is rising, but the level of people recognizing him is not. And so he got mad and he stopped coming to the meeting. I mean, you know, it's sad. But that is, you know, my buddy Matt, I used to call it the 7-number prayer. And he said, call me every morning. And I was like, absolutely. And I did. And that process exposed so many fucking character defects in me, it was ridiculous. But you have to be willing, man. You have to surrender the ego, and you have to be ready to take a good look at all of this shit. And I remember I called him the first day, didn't answer. And in my mind, this is how fucked up I was, and in my mind, I knew that he asked me to call him every day because he knew that I had something important to say. So I thought. So I called every day. The first day I called, no answer. Second day I called, no answer. But I wasn't, you know, I'd been given a test. Call every day and we'll see how it goes. And I wasn't going to stop. The third time I called, no answer. Now I have feelings about this. Now I'm offended, right? Now I'm bothered. And when you get bothered or when I get bothered, I get thirsty. That idea starts popping up in my head because I'm bothered. Inconvenience. Arrogance shows up. Live by a different set of rules. Call the fourth day, he answered. I'm fuming at this point. I'm gonna let him know that I am very disappointed, right? Hey man, how's it going? Boom, flip the switch. Hey bro, how's it going? Thanks for calling. Call me tomorrow. Bye. Click. Hangs up. So I was gonna really let him have it, right? I can't believe I've been treated this way. But as soon as his voice hit my ears, that whole attitude changed, and I was just super grateful, and I said, hey, man, you know, I'm so excited. Hey! Call me tomorrow by click. And that would be a thing that would constantly go on. And But it would show up in different versions. And then, you know, sometimes... you know, I called this number for 7 years. You know, he's my sponsor for 7 years. And I would call, but it would be like, I'm not going to call him. I don't want to call him because he's probably not going to answer. So what I decided to start doing was call him at like 6:30 in the morning because I knew he was asleep. So I knew he wouldn't answer. So that would be the reason. It wasn't because he just chose not to answer. He didn't hear it. I'm insane. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, and it doesn't seem to be getting better. It's just under control, sort of. And, you know, that's you just got to be careful. That has nothing to do with drinking. That's the stinking thinking. And stuff like this COVID-19, these restrictions... It starts to create resentments. And there's not a lot of facts out there, so we're basically creating facts, and then we probably have some sort of fucked up audience around us that listens to our dumb shit, and so we're getting it confirmed, and now we're insane. You know, I would think we would be all on board and be like, yeah, let's shut down for a couple weeks. Let's just shut everything down. Stay home, relax. It's not panic, which is impossible. I don't know. I wasn't even going to podcast today, but I did three podcasts yesterday, and something's going on with this computer. And I lost one, and another one we did. Carlos and I did the In Too Deep podcast. Got all fucked up trying to reload it up. I don't know. Something's going on. So I'm just thought I'd have a little chat. Let me see if I can read this Daily Reflections and get on with the day, people. What's this? Shit. All right, November 12th. No, excuse me, November 20th. Okay, thy will, not mine. When making specific requests, it will be well to add to each one of them this qualification. If it be thy will. I ask simply that throughout the day, God place in me the best understandings of his will that I can have for that day. And then I be given the grace by which I may carry it out. As the day goes on, I can pause when facing situations that must be met and decisions that must be made and renew the simple request, thy will, not mine, be done. I must always keep in mind that in every situation I am responsible for the effort and God is responsible for the outcome. I've said that before. It's all about the effort. It's all about the attempt, not the outcome. God is responsible for the outcome. I can let go and let God by humbly repeating, thy will, not mine, be done. Patience and persistence in seeking his will for me will free me from the pain of selfish expectations. Yeah, that's some good shit right there. You know, my prayer when I'm having a problem, when I'm inconvenienced, right, is, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning it over to you. And I think the key to really finding some satisfaction out of that prayer or the prayer that's being read here is that it has to say it out loud. It has to be said out loud. You know, there's levels of embarrassment, sort of, or whatever that word would be that would qualify, you know, saying something and maybe somebody hearing. I don't know if you're embarrassed or ashamed or whatever, but... You know, you can say things to yourself inside your head, and nobody has a chance to hear that. You can say things outside of around nobody. There's still some humility there because, you know, somebody could hear it, right? But then when you do like a fifth step, you need to do it with another person. The words have to come out of your mouth, and the embarrassment and shame and guilt have to be there, because it's only there in your mind, because the person that's listening, they don't give a fuck. I did a fist step with someone. I really didn't care. And I'm not supposed to care. This isn't about this isn't about me telling you everything and then you have an opinion on it. It's about me saying my most embarrassing things out loud and letting it go. It's pretty great. All right, people. Well, listen. Thanks for your time.
Peace.
In this room stood a little child, and in this room, this little child, she would remain. Until someone might decide to dance this little child across this hall into a cold, dark space where she might never trace her way across this crooked mile, across this crooked page. Cry, freedom, cry from deep inside.